We're in the book of John. If you want to turn there, and if you're visiting for the first time, we're going through the Gospel of John. And last week we talked about the voice, and that Jesus is the good shepherd, and the sheep need to hear his voice. We focus on the whole idea about the voice, and what voice do you hear? Because I think in this world we hear many different voices, and our voices comprise of doubts and fears and all sorts of things going on in our heads. And you know, I don't have to go through the details of how that works. You know, the voices we hear. And last week we talked about the one voice that we believe without a shadow of a doubt, that I believe and I want to hear clearly in my mind more than any other voice, is the voice of God speaking to us. And that's really important. I think you want to make sure if you're married, you hear the voice of your wife. I think that's a good voice to listen to. I would encourage that, without a doubt. And you listen to your wife. I know when I listen to her, she feels very encouraged when she feels like I am listening. And especially if I'm not walking away, and she says, "Where are you going?" And I say, "I can hear you." You ever done that? She's talking to you and you walk off. "Where are you going?" "Yeah, keep talking, I can hear you." It's fine. And I think sometimes, believe it or not, we do that with God. You know, "Yeah, it's okay, I'm off somewhere else, but God, I can hear you." But anyway, that was last week. So this week we're in John chapter 11. And a great text of scripture, and I really do pray that I can do this justice this morning. And the title of my sermon this morning is simply Glory. The title of my sermon is simply Glory. Let's read this together and get through this. A little bit challenged for time, but that's okay. Do the best we can. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light.' After he had said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Obviously, they thought it was the end if he goes back. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 3 kilometres from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she told him. 'I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world.' After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here,' she said, 'and is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews would come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not one who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he had been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So he took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Let's stop there. We could read, but let's just stop there. Let's start beginning the word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Father, that as we read your word, before a word is said, Father, I pray that it already begins to touch and impact our lives at this great example that happened so many 2,000 years ago. Father, I pray so much that as we talk about, Father, glory, and particularly your glory, Father, I pray that we understand that the glory is not about us, that the glory is all about you. And I pray, Father, we can live our lives in that service to bring glory to you. Father, I pray that these words touch people's hearts. I pray you be with me. Help my mind and my heart to be clear, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, this is a great text of Scripture. And there really is so much here. You know, a couple of ideas may ring out to you. I was talking to someone about my sermon yesterday. It was Peter Apple. I was sharing to Peter about the lesson. He said, "Oh, you know, when I think about Lazarus, you know, for me, I think about if God can raise the dead. You know, what can he do in your life? You know, if this can happen, then surely, you know, God can work in your life and do incredible things." And that's a great point, and you could surely preach about that. You know, here we see an example, and you know, today, I want to talk about glory, because glory to me stands out in this text. Because Jesus makes it clear that when it comes to what's going to happen here, as a matter of fact, he will let Lazarus die, and he says, you know, this sickness will not end in death, and indeed it does end in death. He says, but this is going to be so that God's name can be glorified through me, and that I can be glorified through it as well. And he even says later on in the text, the whole idea of glory. You know, when it comes to Martha, in verse 39 there. "But Lord," said Martha, "sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "I did not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God." And so in this miracle, this amazing miracle, God's glory is wrapped up in this. And it's very similar. Of course, the text says that, gee, couldn't someone who healed a blind man, couldn't he stop this man from dying? The answer is yes, because back in John 9, he healed the blind man. And even in that text, when they asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? What is it? He says, no, neither. This happened for the glory of God. In other words, this guy was born blind that one day Jesus could come along and heal him for the glory of God. And that's an amazing thing. You know, a couple of side points here. You know, here we find one of those classic I am verses. And again, you could preach the I am verse here. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And you know, I love these sort of texts. I love these sort of texts because it really gets to the bare bones of Christianity. Yep. There are many different religions out there, and I'm not going to so much say that, well, I probably am going to say it anyway. But you know, he says here, "I'm the resurrection of life." In John 6, he says, "I'm the bread of life." In John 14, he'll say, "I am the truth and the life." Jesus makes these great claims. And I'll tell you now, if you're ever struggling to study the Bible with someone, you want to know what to study, study out the I am verses. He says, "I am the light of the world." These things are great verses to look at, because Jesus makes some very important claims here that no one ever claimed. And to say we all roll into one, it all rolls into one God, well, that's just not true. Jesus makes a very defining statement here that separates him a mile from the rest. And it's not about what's right, it's who's right. Jesus is either the resurrection and the life, or he's not. And if you don't believe that, then accept him as nothing. Don't even consider him a good teacher, because he's a liar at that point. Just like when he says, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, he says, if you eat from me, you will never grow hungry again. These are powerful statements. And here he says, I am the resurrection and the life. You want to live again? You want to raise from the dead? I can make that happen. And that's either true or it isn't true. You know, my first point today, as we talk about the glory of God, is prince or pawn? Prince or pawn? What do I mean? Well, you know, Jesus is basically saying here that there's glory in death. There is glory in death. And I think, you know, as a people, we understand that. There are certain days in the year where we not so much glorify, but remember death and see that there is a glory that comes from it. You know, in April the 25th, we'll commemorate here in this country Anzac Day for the Anzacs that died in places in World War I and Gallipoli. And we honour them, and it's, there is a sense of there's glory there. And glory, the word doxa, just it kind of means praise. It does have the glory of the sun and the stars and all that sort of stuff, but it also just means there's a praise there. And they are praised for their sacrifice. On the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month, you know, of each year, and if you're in a shopping, this is an amazing one, if you're in a shopping mall, you know, it happened to us last year, I think we were in Woolworths, all of a sudden it's okay, we have a minute's silence, and I think, well, why are we having a minute's silence? What happened? And I had to remember, oh, it was the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month. And we remember Armistice Day, which is the end of World War I, and people will stop. Whatever they're doing, they'll stop for that minute's silence. As we honour those that died and the glory surrounding that. Here, the interesting thing about this text is the Bible says, that, and Jesus makes it very clear, that Lazarus' death is all about God's glory.
Amen.
It's all about God's glory. And this is kind of interesting, because I don't know how you feel about this, because Lazarus will need to die twice. Right? He will need to die twice. Man, how would you feel about dying twice? Most people don't think about wanting, you don't think, what's your dream in life? Oh, I'd like to die twice. That'd be fun to die twice. But Lazarus will need to die twice. And like I said, I don't know how you feel about that. How would have Lazarus felt? I mean, Jesus could have healed him. But they, you know, they sent for him, Jesus, Lazarus is dead, and Lazarus is really sick, and Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death, and that's kind of interesting because it will end in death. And he says, hey, but it's okay. That's fine. So here Lazarus suffers to the point of death, and Jesus allows it to happen. You know, death, you know, and you know, it's interesting for me when I think about this, because I think, there is another death that we need to face. And we're talking about the physical death here. But I want to go on and talk a little bit about the death that we need to face that brings glory in our lives. And again, prince versus pawn. What's the whole pawn about? Well, again, how would you feel about being used by God in this fashion? Do we have the heart that says, you know what? Whatever's going to bring God's glory, I'm comfortable with. I think we say that until certain things happen which challenge that idea. And I think it's something we have to always grapple with in our lives. You know, I've heard the anti-God rants, if you like. And there's a particular, I don't know, I think Jared was listening to it one day. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but he's a particular English comedian, you know, a staunch atheist. And he had this anti-God rant, and it was full on. It was full on. It was like, God, if I see God, I'm going to tell him this. I'm ready. I'm ready to challenge God. How can a loving God allow people to die? How can a loving God do this? And you probably heard it. How can a loving God do that? And if you listen to it, you think, man, I can be fooled by that. I can think, well, you know, he's got a point. I wondered those things too. How does all this work? How can God just let this go? How can we be this way? Yeah, how can God allow God be born blind for the sake of Jesus coming along to heal him? How can a guy be allowed to die just so God can be glorified? That's a bit self-centered, isn't it? That's a bit arrogant, isn't it? That's a bit pompous, isn't it? Isn't that just a bit full on? And you could say all those things. And you listen to these guys and they're articulating, you know, sometimes reasonable arguments. And I tell you who gets sucked in by those arguments. It's the princes. The princes. What do I mean by the princes? I'm not talking about the prince in an English prince or a Swedish prince. I'm talking about the princes who think they're princes. I'm talking about the princes who, and the princesses for that matter, let's not leave the princesses out. It's just about princes who think they deserve better. You know, and I'm always reminded of this, that, you know, what are we at the end of the day? That we are nothing. Jeremiah talks about the clay and the potter. That we're just clay in God's hands, and what right do we have? If God was to destroy it right now, if God could do whatever we want, what are we really to the Creator? We think about the creation, what are we? We are nothing at the end of the day. And yet somehow we think we deserve anything. And I think from this text, you know, the whole idea about Lazarus dying, and if you would have given Lazarus a choice, and we'll talk about this in a minute, what would he have said? And I tell you, Lazarus might have said, you know what, because we think the glory of God is all about God's glory. But we don't understand that by participating in the glory of God with our lives, that we get glory as well. We then join with God in his glory. It's not a one-way street, like, okay, I'm going to give glory to God, so it's all about God. No, but by doing that, we partake in God's glory with that. Amen. You know, how does death not end in death? How can death not end in death, I ask you? How does that work? Let's look at some verses together, other verses. Go to John chapter 12 for a second. I've got to rush through here, time's ticking. Verse 23 of John chapter 12. I'm not going to take too much away from the person who gets to do John 12 as we get there. But he says, the hour has come, Jesus replied. In verse 23, for the Son of Man to be glorified, I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And Jesus is talking about what? Us. If we die, the death we need to have is death to ourselves. There needs to be a spiritual death that takes part in our lives. The death will bring life. And that's an interesting concept in itself. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 1 of Colossians 3 says, since then, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self. Or, I'm going to make a point, and I'll do it now a little bit, take off your grave clothes. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And he goes on. Now here Paul talks to the Colossians. He talks about how, you know, we're put to death, the old person, and that's the death that needs to take place. Jesus will allow Lazarus to die so that he can live. And in some sense, we need to die so that we can live. And that's an interesting concept to understand. The question is, why do we find it so hard to die to ourselves? Why do we find it so challenging to die? And I was thinking about this, and I think it's one thing and one thing only. It's losing self. You're worrying about dying because you think you die, and you try and die to yourself and the things he talks about here. You think somehow you're going to lose yourself. And I think that's an interesting concept. We get so worried about losing self. So worried about losing self that we give up on losing self. And I think what we need to understand is that there's so much of self in us. Let me tell you now, you've got so much of you in you, you can get rid of 90% of you and there'd still be too much.
Come on, mate.
And it's true. You think about that for a second. How much of you is in you? How much of you do you struggle with? It's at the end of the day, it becomes about you. It does at the end of the day. It just simply becomes about you. I think about this. You know, what is the world's problem? What's the problem with this world? Everybody's trying to live. Everyone's trying to live. We're all trying so hard to live this life. And what we should be doing is all trying to die.
Yep.
I don't think we understand that. We really do. We all need to be trying much harder to die. The problem with us as disciples, you know when we start to have problems? When we try and start living. When we try and start living and living life for ourselves and putting ourselves in the picture, that's when we start to have problems. The more we give ourselves over to death, the more we die to ourselves, that's where we experience life. It's exactly the opposite to what you would expect. You know, there's glory. Why don't people become Christians? Because they don't want to lose themselves. They don't want to die. There are people here that won't become disciples. I'll tell you why. Because they don't want to die to themselves. You know, I was thinking about this lesson this morning, and I'm sure about myself in a minute. But I want us to understand that it's not just about giving glory to God, but it's becoming part of it. And we don't understand that when we die to ourselves, glory does go to God. But not just that, we become part of God's glory. And I want to share about Louise Lee this morning a little bit. Louise Lee is an amazing sister. And it's not because her brother's sitting with her today. I just knew he was going to be here to lift her up in front of it, give glory to the family. But Louise has gone through some health challenges. She really has. And it's been a tough road for Louise. But you know, the thing about Louise, and this is to me what this is all about.
Come on.
And I'm sure she struggles like we all do. But the thing about Louise is you would never know what she's going through. She gives. You don't sense any bitterness in her life. You don't sense anything there. And I'm sure she's, you know, like I said, I'm sure, you know, a little quiet moment, she has a little moments, and that's fine, and she's entitled to those moments. But she gives. And it's when you find out what's going on and you see the way she conducts herself and the way she holds herself and the way she gives. See, that to me gives glory to God.
Amen.
That to me gives glory to God. Because with everything she's going through, it doesn't stop her from being a disciple.
Yeah.
And not only that, because she lives that way, she becomes part of God's glory. And we need to keep Louise in our prayers because it's a challenge. You know, we can sit here all healthy, but you know, what happens when you're not healthy? What happens when something has happened? Are you prepared to be that pawn for God? Are you prepared to God? God, whatever you want to do with my life, if it brings glory to you, I'm there. I'm there. I know it's easy to say we're sitting here healthy and in our right minds. It's a greater challenge when things happen. Because you know what? There are a lot of bitter people out there who experience a lot of things in their lives and they can't reconcile it. They cannot reconcile what happens. They can't understand how we got here. How can this happen? Because they're too busy trying to live. And I don't want to degrade that. It must be challenging. But all I know, if you die to self, if you die to your will, die to the whole idea that you deserve anything, then you will truly live no matter what happens in your life.
Yep.
And I think we need to understand that. You know, I don't know what's going on with me lately. My wife can testify. But you know, one thing I've been thinking about is this whole concept of dying to self. Because I struggle with it. I really do struggle with it. You know, I seem to get hurt and just disappointed so easily these days. Much, and I don't know what's happened. Karen says I'm getting older. Male menopause, whatever you want to call it. Let's just call it sin for a second. You know, I was talking to Karen about this, and I said, I just, you know. And I know, she said, well, maybe you just need to lower your expectations. And I thought, at times I thought, maybe I just got to stop caring. I just need to harden my heart a little bit. But of course, those, look at Aaron Arcilla, look at the face on Aaron Arcilla, look at that. Gee, Aaron, give me a chance, mate. I'm getting there, okay? You should see his face down here. Step away, she's moved away anyway. And I have thought about that. I have thought about, well, maybe I just need to lower my expectations, or maybe I just don't need to care as much. But the problem with that is what? It would be very easy to do that. It would be very easy not to care. Lower my expectations. Because I feel like I'm getting hurt, or I'm disappointed with what's going on, or whatever. But the problem with that, if I go down that path, then I stop giving. If I go down that path, I start holding back. And then I have that problem, because when I start to hold back, I don't feel good about that either. You ever been in that situation? And it's tough at that point. So, the solution is this. I just need to die. I just need to die. And if I die to myself, no one can hurt me, because I'm dead. It sounds so trivial, right? But it's true. If I'm dead, I'm dead. Go to the gravesite. When you're dead, you're dead. You can punch them, you can kick them, you can stab them, you can shoot them, you can blow them up to pieces. You know, body parts all over the place. And they don't feel a thing.
Yep.
And I hate to say it, but that's our lives. You can shoot me, you can hit me, you can blow me to pieces. Send me from one end of the universe to the other. I won't feel a thing. You can trample my emotions, you can do whatever you want to do. You can abuse me, you can annoy me, whatever you want. If I'm dead, I'm dead.
Come on, man.
And Christ lives in me at that point.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, what a great place to be. But unfortunately, we struggle with the death concept. We struggle with dying to self, because it becomes all about us. Yep. Our feelings, my emotions, who's saying what, who's doing what, you didn't do this, she didn't say that, you know, blah, 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 and it goes on and on and on and on. And you know what I'm talking about. Because for some of you, your days are full of it. And all it's full of is self. And the sooner you deal with that and say, you know what, I'm a prince. I'm behaving like a little princess here, aren't I? Born with a silver spoon in my mouth. And I just need to get to the point where, you know what, Jesus, I just need to die.
Amen.
I just need to die with you. You know, I wondered, sometimes I used to wonder, I'm not going to bother with my second point, we're out of time, but, you know, I used to wonder with Jesus, because the secret of life is death. And I think Jesus at some point must have realized that, yeah, what must have made it not so much easier, because that wouldn't be right to say, but he must have got to the point in his life where he realized that yeah, my death is going to bring so much life that it's worth it. And that's the way we need to view our lives. That our death to ourselves. And my second point was going to be wake up and take off the grave clothes. Because I think we are wearing some grave clothes. And those grave clothes are simply the things that he mentions in Colossians 3. The greed, the lust, they're all the grave clothes that we all wear. And Jesus says in John 11, he says, I have come to wake Lazarus up. And we need Jesus come has to wake you up. He's come to wake us all up. We talk about we think we've got a drug problem in this world, and we do have a drug problem physically with our teens, and it's disastrous. But we've got another drug problem in this world which causes people to be in a state of stupor. And that is the greed, the selfishness, all those things. I don't have time to talk about those things. But the main point today is if we can die to ourselves and allow ourselves to be used by God in this way and truly put to death who we are, then we really understand the life that God has planned for us. And not only will it bring glory to God, but we will partake in that glory with Him. And that is a glorious thing. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.